broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use continue now. This is the broadcast for April 24th in the year of our Lord, 2019. The goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country in the traditions of our founding fathers. Wow. All right, do you say his name Nolt, or is it Nolte, Kirk? N-O-L-T-E?
I think it's Nolte.
Nolte.
He's a writer for Breitbart, and he's got a lot of good stuff. You talking about the whiteness one?
Yeah.
Sam?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. In this case, the headline reads, a library journal comes out against books guilty of whiteness. There's something called the Library Journal. They advertise themselves as the most trusted and respected publication for the library community. This is one of those areas where, man, you can dump so many dollars into it. And if you oppose it, then you're just, you're against people.
You're not even worthy of eating the table scraps at the debate.
But anyway, I mean, we got a library close by us where they have a canyon in it, Sam. I mean, you know, I guess it's appropriate when government spends so much money they can't even fill up a canyon.
Well, you do like to read, don't you?
Yeah, that's right. And we couldn't read without government libraries. But anyway, back to this story. They say it appears to be calling for the banning of books it considers guilty of, quote, whiteness. End quote.
And is that what, like the Bible, Kurt? Is that the kind of the chief attack point?
Well, that should be on the list, I'm pretty sure, Sam. Well, in fact, I doubt that you could look in that library and find lots of books, but I'll bet you couldn't even ask for a Bible, you know, because I'll bet it wouldn't be in there, Sam. But anyway, they say in a tweet published recently from Library Journal's verified account, the trade publication announced to its 202,000 followers that, quote, library collections continue to promote and proliferate whiteness with their very existence and the fact that they are physically taking up space in our libraries, end quote. So, Sam, I guess...
So help me understand, what is it, promoting whiteness? Is that the crime?
Yeah. They say the tweet links to a semi-incoherent piece. Well, I mean, that seems like normal for most of these things. But anyway, semi-incoherent piece.
Guilty of whiteness.
Written by librarian Sophia Leung, L-E-U-N-G, on her personal blog, who complains at length about library collections written mostly by, get this, evil guys, straight white men that are a physical manifestation of white men ideas.
Yes, they are.
Taking up all the space in our library stacks.
Yeah.
End quote. Yeah.
Well, she just continues, do a white book burning, Kurt.
Well, you know? I mean, it's only fair.
Imagine all those white guys thinking they can write anyway.
Oh, man. They didn't even have permission yet.
All right. Anyway, bottom line is it's bogus, folks. Yeah. Library Journal literally promoting the race wars and literally violating. I guess they can do what they want with their own library, Kurt, or is it government?
Well, just imagine if this was turned, Sam.
Well, hold on.
And somebody
Library
was,
Journal, is that ahead. Government or private?
You know, it's one of those really tough questions, Sam, because you know how much money gets dumped into the library world.
Oh, yeah. It's like quasi. You can't even know what's what.
It's
kind of my problem with a lot of these new technologies coming to the market. I support the technologies, but I just don't know if they're like private sector or not, right? It's the same scenario.
We know the kind of libraries we promote, like those little, you get those little private little libraries that people put up at their house or, you know, right out front in their yard, and you can go and get a book.
Well, sir, sometimes if somebody's wealthy enough, they're even like a philanthropist, and they just put up a library because they believe in the cause of education. They do it on their own.
Yeah.
I'm for those, too.
Well, you know, like, for example, BYU has a massive library.
Yeah, that's Brigham Young University,
folks. That's right. And there's a whole bunch of other
That's a private sector library, isn't it?
Well, yeah, Sam. I mean, imagine that, a private sector
library. Yeah, and I think Notre Dame and others have those kind of libraries too, Kirk.
Yeah, and even I know Google in the past talked about them going and just basically putting every book that was in the library online. But I haven't seen much
more power to them.
You know,
they're too busy violating your privacy to get that done, buddy.
Good.
All right. Sri Lanka's in the news, Kurt.
Yeah. Now, Sam, I don't know if you knew about this, but there was a little bit of hullabaloo over the weekend about Sri Lanka.
You just mean the Christians got attacked?
Well, yeah, but I mean, there's nothing really to talk about there. I mean, but the AFP, which is sort of another news service, I thought this was interesting, you know, just to learn kind of how it all happened. So, here's the headline. Sri Lanka bomber stood at hotel buffet, then unleashed terror. So what you have, Sam, is an Easter Sunday breakfast buffet at what's called the Sri Lanka Cinnamon Grand Hotel. This is the reason you're lucky that you don't have huge amounts of money to just travel around the world, Sam. You were home having probably Easter Sunday breakfast, you know, right there at your own home. And nobody was standing in line, you know, queued up for breakfast.
Yeah, there you go.
And nobody was in line there. They're queued up for church with explosives strapped to their back. It says, carrying a plate, the man who had registered at the hotel the night before as Mohammed Azam Mohammed was just about to be served when he set off his devastating strike in the packed restaurant, a manager at the Sri Lankan hotel said. He said, there was utter chaos, said the manager, who spoke to AFP on condition of anonymity, as he is not allowed to speak for the company. The restaurant at the hotel was having one of its busiest days of the year for the Easter holiday weekend. 8:30 in the morning, it was busy. It was families. He came up to the top of the queue and set off the blast. One of our managers who was welcoming guests was almost among those killed instantly. The bomber also died. Parts of his body were found intact by police and taken away. I'm trying to figure out how that works. Parts of your body are found intact. But anyway, then they say other hotel officials told how the bomber, a Sri Lankan, checked in giving an address that turned out to be false, saying he was in the city for business. Yeah, I would call it monkey business, or it was explosive business. Two other hotels, the Shangri-La and
Well, listen, we're all about business. We're either about our father's business or we're about Satan's business, and the murder agenda is Satan's business, and he was about it, folks, that's for sure.
Yeah, good point. But anyway, you know, I just found it interesting that, like, let's imagine if Sheriff Mack was in charge of the security for this hotel, Sam, and a guy checks in, and his name is Mohammed Azam Mohammed, and he checks in, and, you know, do you think that Sheriff Mack might have been thinking, better check this guy out? You know, it looks like he's coming down for breakfast, and looks like maybe he's got his coat on, and he's kind of heavily loaded there. Maybe we shouldn't queue him up for, you know, Easter buffet.
Yeah, it's just weird, anyway, and it's easy to second guess, but I got a different take on this entirely.
Yeah,
and I get that we could have heightened security and man could do a better job at vetting these situations and looking for the anomalies. You'd have to actually profile to get a lot of that done, which I support, by the way. I'm not afraid to say we should profile.
Imagine that.
See? Right, Kurt, like if a bunch of black people are robbing stores, I'm going to be like, hey, you should look for a black person, guys. And they're going to go, oh, my gosh. Can you imagine Sam saying that? What a racist. What a hater. You know, and then if a white guy robs a bank, I'm like, hey, we should look for a white guy. And they're like, oh, my goodness. Can you imagine? Well, it makes sense, right? If a tall guy robs, I'm going to say you should look for a short
guy.
No. A tall guy, right? Okay, so, you know, it's not racial. It's not hatred. It's just trying to identify as soon as possible the criminals, right, and stop them so that others don't get harmed or hurt. That's what it's about, right? Well, anyway, I bring this up because we can do all we can from a man point of view, an arm of flesh, if you will, I would do a little different security strategy, and that would be that I would appeal to God for guidance and protection.
Wow.
And then I would try to do what God's
Maybe
asked me to do.
Put the Ten Commandments up around so people could read them.
And, yeah. You know, it's exactly what I'm talking about. And I know people would be like, Sam, that's just a naive answer. You know, good people get shot too, you know. Good people die too, you know. I get it. I understand that. I also understand the more we appeal to God humbly and honestly, and then the more we do what he asks us to do, the greater protection we can have. Does it mean you'll always be protected? No, it doesn't. God has his plans, and he has his reasons, and he lets certain things happen. And when the wicked, you know, rage, the righteous suffer. I get it. I also get, though, that I can do what I can do and trust in God for the rest. And I have a feeling that if we were to turn to God as a nation, as a world, as a people, as society, as whatever, I'm telling you that if we would truly repent and do that, he's promised us biblically that he will heal our land. Imagine and that he'll protect us, right, Kurt?
Yeah.
So I know my idea sounds a little naive in the world today. I get it. I also get that I believe that that's one of the greatest answers. I believe you could have righteous people receiving revelation from God, and they would be alerted in ways that could protect people. Just imagine if the law enforcement used all capabilities at their disposal and then relied on a higher source for security. Just saying. Liberty Roundtable, live.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused Border Agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text FIGHT to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. Defendapatriot.com.
I really don't want to talk about this, but I will. I'm just so mad. I didn't get asked to the junior prom and it's raining, which means by the time I get to school, I'm soaking wet. Dad picked me up just after I left and I was so mad I got out and he said, wait, your mom said to give you this. I forgot my lunch money and then I dropped it in the water and I was late for history and so at lunchtime I had to find something on John Stuart Mill, which of course our library didn't have. So I had to walk all the way down to the office to call my mom and she found something on the internet and called me back. And Karen, she wouldn't even help me and that's a whole nother story. But Dad helped me conjugate nouns or whatever on the way to the swim team workout. And then he read my history paper while I was in the pool. And of course, I forgot the bibliography. So I had to do that with my mother when I got home. And it made me totally forget that I put my jeans in the washer that morning. And I hate it when they sit wet like that all day and smell like mildew. But my mom said she put them in the dryer while I was at the swim team. And, you know, I'm just not going to go to the prom, no matter who asks me. I just want to stay home with my mom and dad.
Family.
And just hang out.
Isn't it about time?
Unless Dustin asks me.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
There is not, I repeat, there is not another talk show like Liberty Roundtable Live on the air, ladies and gentlemen. If you find what we do valuable, if you find what we do worthy, then please, ladies and gentlemen, support Liberty Roundtable Live. Every penny we get will be used to grow our presence in the media. We don't need you to fund our lives. We have day jobs. Kurt sells raw honey. And if you want to buy raw honey, have it delivered directly to your door, localhoneyman.com to get that done, localhoneyman.com. I have a day job of a different sort. Nevertheless, we don't want your money to fund our families or our vacations. We do need your pennies, though, to help grow our presence in the media as we tell the tale of liberty, free, live and on-demand radio, commentary and more, articles, the list goes on and on at your fingertips, libertyroundtable.com. Kurt Middlebury College. How do they say that? Middlebury?
Middlebury.
Middlebury.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Where the heck is that?
But anyway, well, that's somewhere on the planet, Sam.
You don't know? You didn't go research this, Kurt. Come on.
Okay.
Now, let me tell you how you do it. You highlight Middlebury College.
Well,
you copy it to your clipboard. You go back to the Google there, because Google knows everything, buddy.
It's a college, by the way.
Yeah.
I know that.
And then you type in Googleberry College and then Wiki, and then you pull that up. And while you're telling us the story, I will find out where the heck Middlebury College is, sir.
All right. Very good, Sam. Anyway, there's a chemistry professor there, and he is an evil dude, Sam, because the headline reads,
by the way, it's
Middlebury
private.
College.
It was established November 1st, 1800. Whoa. And they got an endowment from a big old bunch of bucks from the American taxpayer. So it's, you know, debatable on the private part.
Good point.
Yeah.
Anyway, this...
It's in Middlebury, Vermont, Kurt.
Vermont.
In the United
States,
sir. So now you know all about Middlebury.
Oh,
buddy.
Yeah.
They're private, but they got a big old government endowment, is what they call it, from, you know... Maybe it wasn't a taxpayer endowment. Maybe it was a private endowment, Kurt.
Ooh,
I'm hoping.
Well, yeah. Well, anyway, if it is, it makes sense that they're going after them. But the headline from Breitbart, Middlebury College chemistry test makes students calculate lethal toxicity for Nazi gas chambers. Yeah, subheadline, a chemistry professor has been placed on leave after he asked students to calculate the lethal dosage used in Nazi gas chambers during the Holocaust. Now you say, well, why would he do that? Well, you know, Sam, this is one of those politically incorrect questions that you couldn't ask. But,
well, they could have him do a thing that says if you happen to, you know, headed a hotel buffet and you had a bomb, how many people could you take out? You could do that one.
Good point.
It would be more modern.
Yeah, no, that would be okay, yeah. But anyway, they investigated this guy. His last name's Byers. He's not buying this. But anyway, previous examinations, and they even revealed that he had asked other bizarre questions, such as one about the Ku Klux Klan. You know, here's the question. It says, hydrogen cyanide, HCN, is a poisonous gas which Nazi Germany used to horrific ends in the gas chambers during the Holocaust. The lethal dose for humans is approximately 300 mg of HCN per kilogram of air when inhaled. Byers question began, calculate the g or grams of HCN that would give a lethal dose in the above room. The second part of the question added. Now, Sam, what I want to know from you is, why is this a question that you couldn't ask that, you know, I mean, wouldn't this be just something that people might go, well, hey, I can sort of see how that could be used in real world life. Now, I'm not suggesting that we put the poisonous gas.
I sure hope not.
You know, figure out how to do this, but at least it was something that, you
well,
know, they
first
could
of all, Kurt, you're going to talk about the Holocaust here.
I know that's illegal, right?
Well, it depends on your perspective.
Oh, okay.
Like if you're a Jew, it's all cool.
Some people say it never happened, right?
If you're going to double down and say that it's a fact and everything about it is just horrific and you know, Hitler was evil and everything else, then, you know, you go along, right? You're allowed to do all that. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe that the Hitler regime or whatever you want to call it was evil. And I believe a lot of what they claimed did happen. But I don't believe the official story, Kurt.
Wait
and I don't
a minute.
Believe the
so
details
you're saying
surrounding
that
official story.
Some of the people that have lied to you before.
Lied again. Roger that. Yes, sir.
Whoa.
And I'm saying I don't trust them. Now, I don't know what's real and what's fake is the problem. So I'm not going to pretend that I know. But, for example, I personally believe Hitler did escape. He didn't die the way we were told he did at all.
Very good.
And if you don't believe me, the CIA documents that just came out recently said they were looking for him in the 60s in Argentina. And why would they be doing that if they didn't believe similar ideas, Kurt?
Probably some extra government money. I mean, you know.
Yeah, so let's look for Hitler in Argentina, even though we know for sure he was never there because he died. What I'm saying is that you could say I'm crazy on that.
Wouldn't be surprising to me.
You could say I'm crazy on that, Kurt, but when you say the CIA literally spent money to look for that in the 60s, why would they do that if he died like in the 40s like they said and they knew it? The answer is good they didn't point, know it, Sam. They didn't believe it, and they had questions and reasons to believe otherwise. Now, I'm not saying that narrative is true. I'm saying that I don't know what the truth is, Kurt.
Well, Sam, if your government says certain things
well,
are
they
true,
said
I
one
mean,
thing.
You just
they said
have
they,
to accept
that he died,
it.
And then they said they were looking for him. In the 60s. So I don't know which of those two to believe, and I know you're telling me I should just believe, but which one should I just believe?
Believe me, baby.
Well, since the one in the 60s was after the one in the 40s, I'm kind of thinking I ought to believe the latest updated information, shouldn't I?
Mm-hmm. Good point, Sam.
All right, just kind of wondering. Now, I don't know what the truth is. I don't know if it's right or wrong. All I know is I can't trust my government, so I don't know the truth. But you know what? I don't like talking about this Middlebury College and this racist stuff and this calculating lethal toxicity.
Oh, by the way, real quick, before he goes to the next story, this guy's done a mea culpa, Sam. So, you know, he'll probably be able to be, to stick around because he says he wrote an apology letter.
No, and, that ain't enough, buddy. You know, that'll never be enough.
And I think, but his main problem is he's probably white. You know what I mean?
Oh, good point. And now, look, were there gas chambers in, Nazi-era Germany? I don't know, Kurt. I have a suspicion that there were gas chambers, but there weren't near as many as they claim. And the only reason that I question this so much is because they pumped the Nazi story up so much, but yet they don't talk about Holodomor or what happened in Stalin's era either. And I know that one was just as big, if not a bigger, murder factory. Why do they highlight one and the other's not even talked about?
Yeah, we never even heard about the other one. Yeah.
Well, I have a little bit, but you know.
Well, I know, but
they say
I mean,
Stalin's
before,
a bad guy.
You know, yeah.
But one, you know all the intimate details about. One, you literally have people saying, oh, I was there, or my family was there, or whatever else. And you hear a lot, but you don't hear about the other one. But why is one hyped up so much and the other just simply obliterated? It makes you wonder. And I'm not for these kinds of tests of, hey, let's have you calculate this. Why do we want people to calculate that anyway? Now, I'm fine with calculations, but couldn't we find better things to calculate?
Well, but on the other hand, this guy kind of chose that question. He's the chemistry professor. Wouldn't he be the guy that could just choose whatever question he wants? I mean,
well, he could.
Part of that pro-choice kind of thing.
But at some point, when does it become political and driving an agenda? Which is, let's make sure people believe the gas chambers were as horrific as possible and how evil it was. And problem is, I don't even know if I can even trust any of that.
So do you remember those when they do this? Let's see, how many trees are gone from Brazil and the rainforest?
That's what I'm talking about. It's always got an environmental... Or an agenda-driven twist, which is hate Hitler, he was evil, defend the Jews. You better be pro-Israel or you're the enemy. If you ever bring up any questioning of anything, then somehow you're just nutcase whacked. I bring up that I think Hitler might have escaped, and they say you're a crackpot, and then the CIA releases documents that they were looking for him in the 60s. And then someone goes, what's up with that? Right? Is Sam a crackpot or is the CIA crackpot, Skirt?
They missed that story.
Well, they just got to deal with reality. Why is the CIA looking for him in the 60s if there's no credibility to the question? And then why am I the enemy for asking the question?
Oh, yeah.
Now, I'm not saying that the Holocaust didn't exist. I'm not saying that at all. However, there are those who do say that. And my question is this. Why don't they have a right to their own opinion?
Good point. Like this chemistry professor.
There you go.
I mean, he's got a right.
All right. I guess the court is halting a criminal proceeding against Planned Parenthood video journalist. So let's be very careful with this headline. You got to break it down so you really get the context here, Kurt. The headline's not very good.
Right. This is happening in California. And our buddies at Liberty Counsel are right in the middle of it, Sam.
All right,
so
we'll break it down just for you.
It's pretty important.
Yeah, it is important, and you got to dissect it in detail so people get what's really going on. It's actually good news, right?
Yes, sir.
All right, hang tight. We'll tell you the details, ladies and gentlemen, in seconds on your radio.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The Iranian president saying today that Tehran would be willing to renegotiate that landmark nuclear deal with world powers as the Trump administration's wanted, but only if the United States lifts pressure and sanctions and apologizes for what Hassan Rouhani calls illegal actions. President Rouhani saying there must be mutual respect if the two nations are going to sit down and talk. Hillary Clinton saying that President Trump would be indicted if he was not President Trump. Speaking yesterday in New York, the former Democratic nominee spoke about special counsel Robert Mueller's final report and said,
"Well, I think there's enough there that any other person who had engaged in those acts would certainly have been indicted."
She says Mueller put the obstruction issue in the hands of members of Congress. And this is USA Radio News.
It's amazing but true. When it comes to one of America's biggest household expenditures, health care, a lot of people think they've got no choice. People are used to thinking we have to do it this way, but they don't. Yes, you have the freedom to choose an alternative with your health care. It's MediShare, and it costs way less than the alternatives. The typical family saves $500 a month, not a year, a month. And if you're single, this can save you a lot too. And let's face it, a big reason MediShare is 400,000 people strong, it just works. They've shared over $3 billion in medical bills, so they can help share your needs too. Joining MediShare for so many people is one of those things that makes you say, why didn't I do this before? So yes, the time has come for something better. Look into joining MediShare and see why so many people are opting out of the old way and into the new. Why not look into this? Just call 855-90-PSALM. That's 855-90-PSALM. 855-90-PSALM.
President Trump not so inclined to have current and former White House aides testify in congressional committees, telling the Washington Post there's no reason for their participation, especially in what he sees as partisan proceedings. Committees in the House are investigating possible obstruction of justice by the president based on the Mueller-Russia report. The nation's highest court has heard arguments on whether a citizenship question that the administration supports should be added to the 2020 census. Here's USA Radio's Wendy King.
The census would affect how many seats each state holds in the House of Representatives and their share of federal dollars over the next 10 years. New York Attorney General Letitia James.
Clearly, by putting a citizenship question on the census forms, all experts indicate and suggest that, in fact, it would undermine that count.
Three lower courts blocked the Trump administration's effort to add the question, saying millions would choose not to participate.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Hard-hitting talk, always. What do you say, Kurt? Court halts criminal proceedings against Planned Parenthood video journalists. Now, this is really good news, but when you see the headline, if you're not careful, you think Planned Parenthood got off the hook. Well, that's not really what happened at all, Kurt.
Well, and if you're not caught up on this story, ladies and gentlemen, what you've got here is, a while back, some undercover, I'd call them real journalists. They went, I guess you could say, kind of sneaky form or whatever with little cameras and stuff, and they filmed the Planned Parenthood guys basically, harvesting and selling baby body parts for profit. Have some lady that works for Planned Parenthood saying, "Hey, man, this will get me a new Mercedes or whatever," for some reason, there are some people that didn't want to really release that information out, like the Planned Parenthood bigwigs, etc. And so now there's some judge, some Supreme Court in California that, they want to hold up some of this stuff. And so here's some of the info from our buddies there at Liberty Counsel. And, this one says, We are pleased that the California Supreme Court is considering a closer look at the well-documented bias and the illegal collusion between Attorney General Becerra and his Planned Parenthood financiers. That's the Vice President of Legal Affairs and Chief Litigation Counsel at Liberty Counsel. That's what he said. He goes on and says, Sandra Merritt did not violate any law, and we are confident that the evidence will demonstrate that California's first ever prosecution of an undercover journalist for illegal recording is selective and discriminatory. Now, you've got the Thomas More Society president and chief counsel that's in the middle of this as well. They do some great work, I think. And they welcome the stay of the criminal proceedings, adding the appeal raises a critical issue, specifically whether a prosecutor may exercise his or her powers to enforce the criminal laws on a selective, politically discriminatory basis. Now, by the way, Sam, remember that lady Kamala Harris?
Yes, of course.
Anyway, wannabe presidential person or whatever. By the way, she's smack dab in the middle of this, and she's pledged publicly to stand with Planned Parenthood. And she's also accepted thousands of dollars in campaign contributions from what they call in this story the abortion vendor. The trial court previously refused to dismiss the criminal charges against the journalist. So, you know, at least to me, it's good news. Maybe these people that are trying to bring to light, you know, the evils done by Planned Parenthood are not going to be, you know, put in jail, Sam, or at least held accountable.
Buddy, no one's going to jail unless they're a Christian, unless they talk about God, family, or country.
If they're killing babies, we got to protect them. It's freedom of speech or something.
Well, darn right, man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's how it is.
Okay, got it.
And I know it's sad that way, but look, the conservatives don't do enough about it to change the game. Kurt?
Yep. Well, at least these two guys there at the... You know, the Thomas More Society and the Liberty Council are...
They're doing a great job.
They're jumping in. Yeah,
and jumping. Kurt's right that there are some of us who are doing the best we can. My only point is there's not enough of us or the game would change, Kurt.
Yeah, good point.
Right? There's money that some people, you know, there's some great people that donate to us big time. And we're grateful for them.
Yes.
But there's just not enough. Right? 10 people, 20 people, 30 people cannot do all the work. We need 5,000 people, 50,000 people, 500,000 people to do the work. I mean, look, if we had 500,000 people give us a dollar, we'd have enough to operate for years, Kurt.
Great point. Mm-hmm. Well, right. And we might not just save it all for years. We might even expand our reach currently, you know.
Yeah, but even if we did expand our reach big time currently, we could still operate for a couple of years, even so.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Good point.
All right. I don't even know how to talk about this topic, but here it goes. Soylent Green is a company. Yeah. Right?
Do you remember the old movie?
I don't know. But I know the reference.
There was
right?
a movie a long time ago.
Did you watch it?
About this. I don't remember ever seeing it. I just remember reading here about it or
okay.
you know, something.
Well, anyway, there's a Soylent Green movie that came out in what, like 73 or something like that?
I think so, yeah.
In that range, in the 60s, late 60s, early 70s.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Soylent Green was as wicked or manipulative then as the truth is now, sad to say. They say Soylent Green for real. So it's a company and it promotes this agenda. And the headline says, Americans to feed off dead people. State poised to legalize human composting. Now, I got to put WA because it's Washington State, right? Now, these people that are promoting this says, I believe in doing things the natural way, as naturally as possible, with bipartisan majorities. The state Senate and House of Representatives on Friday approved a bill called 5001, titled Concerning Human Remains. The Seattle Times reported the details, so you know it's legit. The law, they say, would take effect May 1st if it's signed by the Democratic governor what is it, Jay, how do you say it, Inslee? Anyway, he's a candidate for the Democratic, 2020 nomination. And you got these retired cardiovascular nurses testifying in favor of the bills. When I'm done with this body, it's served me very well for the last 64 years. Do I want to poison it with formaldehyde and other poison chemicals? Of course not. I want to go the natural way. And they want an urban, let me get this right, soil-based, ecologically friendly death care option. So the founder of this group called Recompose, she wants her company to be the first natural, organic reduction funeral home in the U.S., Kurt. So I don't really know how to respond to this story. Frankly, I'm a little overwhelmed, she says. They say that she's worked with researchers that carefully and properly compost human remains. They say you could do it in your household garden, Kurt. State Senator Jamie Peterson of Seattle, who first proposed the bill in the Senate, said, hey, the problem is we got these expensive caskets that are ecologically unfriendly. And we got to fight against that, Kurt. Now, I don't really know how to respond to this story exactly because it's just so out there. I mean, it's so weird. But that's what they're pushing for, Kurt. And this isn't just talk. This is serious. They say the Democrat governor will likely sign it. Soylent Green. The founder and CEO of Recompose. She wants her company to be the first natural organic funeral home in the U.S., Kurt. Do you want to respond to this one? I don't even know what to say about this.
Well, let me say this. Our buddy Lowell Nelson had a presentation at one of the Highland meetings just a little while back that I missed, but I read the email on it. And, basically they're talking about options on ways that you could either, have yourself buried, as John Wayne would say it, or be, participant and bury somebody in your family. And it seems like there's a bunch of government intervention in it, and at least I'm personally for letting people choose how they want to be buried and where or whatever. But, a bunch of government regulations are involved, apparently. So at least I will say that. Now, am I for people, just like putting dead people out there and composting them, mixing them up so that then you got more good soil? I don't think we should do that with the human body. But on the other hand, these people want to say that, hey, then when you put that coffin down in the earth, it's somehow you're ruining the earth, which I don't get, because didn't all the stuff for that coffin come from the earth?
You're not even allowed to talk about that. You're just supposed to back composting of dead people, Kurt.
Okay, good.
See? Now, the thing that I want to know about this whole story is this. Why is it a governmental issue in the first place?
Good point.
That's the first question that I would ask. The second question I would ask is this the slippery slope, Kurt?
Probably.
We know China used to eat what, embryos as like eggs as a delicacy. What is it?
Yeah.
A delicacy?
Yep.
As you all know, Roe versus Wade has resulted in some of the most permissive abortion laws anywhere in the world. For example, in the United States, it's one of only 7 countries to allow elective late-term abortions, along with China, North Korea, and others. Right now, in a number of states, the laws allow a baby to be born from his or her mother's womb in the 9th month. It is wrong. It has to change. Americans are more and more pro-life. You see that all the time. In fact, only 12% of Americans support abortion on demand at any time. Under my administration, we will always defend the very first right in the Declaration of Independence, and that is the right to life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Now, Caitlin Dottie says it's a burial practice that nourishes the planet, Kurt. You're all cool with nourishing the planet.
Nourishing the planet. You know, not really, Sam. But anyway.
What's wrong with you, man?
I'm just an earth hater.
Yeah. Now, here's the deal. They say the problem is when you cremate folks, Kurt. I know this topic's kind of unsavory, but, you know. Yeah. When you cremate, folks, the problem is the ashes, Kurt, don't do anything to nourish the soil, see?
Okay. And, of
and
course,
why wouldn't we want to nourish the soil and do good?
You got that smoke going up and all that stuff.
You could do good after this life, Kurt, if you just think about it right.
Okay.
Now, Kurt, do you know who Caitlin Dottie is?
No.
She was born 1984, so she's 34 years old.
All right.
And I guess she lives in Los Angeles now, but she was born in Hawaii, and she's, well, she's got a BA in medieval history and what's called mortuary science, buddy. She went to St. Andrew's Priory School, or Priory,
okay.
Priory School, and the University of Chicago and Cypress College. Her occupation is she's a YouTube personality, sir. She's a mortician.
She's and, a YouTube personality?
Yes. And a mortician, and an author, and a blogger.
Well, she's everything, pretty much.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Now, she's a YouTube personality known for advocating what they call reformed funeral practices, Kurt. Web series Ask a Mortician. Yeah. She's involved in the Order of the Good Death. And an author of two best-selling books. One's called Smoke Gets in Your Eyes and Other Lessons from the Crematory.
Oh.
Anyway, weird stuff. It talks about her early life. The Order of the Good Death, I guess, is the other book. And if you want her to come speak to you, Kurt, she's available. There you go.
Very good.
Now, I look at this and I just go, here's my problem with this, Kurt. One, I don't know why government's in the middle of it in the first place. I made that point. My second point would be this. I think that we just need to have respect for the human body. I think Christ called it a temple, Kurt.
Yep.
And so I personally would kind of take the discussion in that direction because, you know, I try to take Christ as my cue or my leader or my guide, if you will. And I would say that I think that we ought to be very careful when we start tampering with the temples of God, the human body. And I understand these people would say, well, listen, you know, it's one of the best, most humane ways. And I'm just saying I'm not really for trying to even hint at what eventually will be the slippery slope of eventual cannibalism. And I know people will laugh at me and mock me and say, oh, my gosh, you're just crazy, Sam. But isn't that where it goes? First, we talk about babies, and we debate if they're alive when mom's pregnant. Then later, we talk about making sure they're safe and comfortable and warm while we plot their murder. And if I would have brought that up, you know, back in Roe versus Wade, that pretty soon they'll be talking about openly murdering delivered live babies, they would have said, oh, my gosh, you're insane.
Yeah, I would never come to that.
Write it down. I'm telling you, it's a serious, serious concern. And I'm concerned when Washington State aims to be the first state to legalize human composting. Because at some point you start to feed off dead people and the slippery slope happens. And I mentioned right before the break that China literally kind of, what'd they eat, Kurt? What was it? Human embryo, whatever, or I can't remember exactly how it went.
I think it was fetuses.
They had them in a bottle, and you could buy them as a delicacy in China. And we reported that like 25 years ago, Kurt.
Right.
So now you got that. Now you got this.
It was a UPI story, it seemed like, the way I remember it.
Yeah, and so I'm telling you, write it down. The satanic agenda marches forward. And when a society evolves into the debauchery of immorality, it just gets more and more and more as they wax stronger in their perversions, Kurt.
Yep.
Write it down on the answers to turn to God and reject this narrative, folks, and have respect for the human body. Christ called it a temple. And I think we ought to have that kind of respect for the human body, God's creation, and for life. Just me. Jared Kushner's in the news, Kurt.
Well, yes, Sam. You know, he points out that I thought this was kind of interesting. You know, I mean, basically, he says, hey, this whole Mueller investigation did more to affect, you know, things than the Russia hoax or whatever. And, you know, he didn't go this far, but I think he should have gone farther. He should have said, look, what if they weren't pursuing this whole Mueller, you know, hoax thing, how would the election results for the Republicans have gone? I mean, when so many Americans are just fed this lie about the president being a spy for the Russians and all that other stuff, do you think that affected the last election, Sam?
Well, of course it did, Kurt. But we shut down the vote fraud commission. So we're not going to do a single thing about it, buddy.
That's right.
But yes, is it dishonest? Is it immoral? Is it wrong? Absolutely. Is it vote fraud? Without question. But nobody has the guts to do anything about it.
Yeah, it's interesting, though, Jared's bringing it up.
Well, Jared's right.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
He's basically saying he who owns the media makes the rules, Sam.
Right. Yes, and he used to own the media, partly, so he would know.
Yes, sir. He's got the, it was a, like a tabloid paper or whatever.
Yeah, in New York.
Yeah.
Well, I know a little bit. I own some of the media, too, so I understand.
Yeah.
I understand it maybe as well as the next guy, I hope.
Yeah. Good point.
But when you think about harsher impact, what does harsher impact mean, Kurt?
Well, in other
see, I think
words,
you ought to say it differently. I think you ought to say this. Had more
effect on
vote fraud manipulation effect.
But he didn't really bring up the vote part. He
no, that's what I mean by they always say the right things, but it's never enough to go to the next level. Like when you say it's harsher, there's no real criminal activity. It's just kind of harsh, Kurt. Kind of like when you talk about women or race or anything else, you're harsh, Kurt. See? But there's no real like accountability or choice or see what I mean? Anyway, Jared's right, but he doesn't go far enough is the point. Speed trap, Kurt. They got one of those dudes going on, don't they?
Speed trap. Let's see.
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah,
speed
yeah.
Trap
I thought this was a cool story.
By Florida cops.
Do you remember, I mean, you know, this would happen typically on a normal basis in different places. And, you know, so what would happen, ladies and gentlemen, is the authorities would, you know, get their guys set up at a certain place knowing that, hey, maybe it's a downhill area or where people typically go faster, and then they just start gathering some extra tax dollars there. Well, somebody, the headline reads from Fox News, speed trap by Florida police foiled by handmade sign to alert drivers. Yeah, so the authorities were getting ready to crack down on speeding. Well, I would have said they're getting ready to bring in some extra tax dollars. But they discovered they couldn't catch any because someone tipped off the drivers.
Well, let me ask you
now
a question.
Yeah.
Wouldn't they be delighted that people are slowing down?
Well, it seemed like they should be happy. They say after a significant amount of time had passed, they were puzzled. The police said traffic was steady, so why had they identified
just one driver
who was traveling over the speed limit? The police officers left the area, and the mystery was solved. Someone had made a sign on a piece of plywood that warned of police ahead and leaned it up against a speed limit sign pole. By the way, the speed limit sign pole said 45 miles an hour. And then the police said, well played, anonymous sign artist, well played. Just somebody trying to protect their neighbor.
But here's what I don't understand. So the sign was accomplishing what the cops pretend they want to accomplish. The problem is the cops are mad because they didn't get the cash cow.
Yeah, good point.
What do you mean, well played?
I think it would just be, you know.
Well, it's only well played if you have a different agenda, Kurt.
Yeah, good point.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Anyway, I find that interesting. Speed trap. All right, you got blacklisters, Kurt.
Blacklisters.
Yeah, they're at Microsoft over there, Kurt.
Well, yeah, and they don't call this whitelisting, but they do call it blacklisting, Sam. So
yeah.
I guess it's okay.
Black bad, white good. See how these racists are?
Yeah. You know, and let's see. They call it NewsGuard, and it's something that Microsoft has. And apparently, Sam, the headline reads, financial blacklisting NewsGuard advises advertisers to avoid pro-Trump media. So it's just more of this battle. By the way, the list it also includes Breitbart News, the Drudge Report, and the Daily Mail. So they're basically telling their buddies, hey, don't put your money here. Now, we've been kind of saying that forever to our pals, like when Ron Paul brought in all that money running for president. We just said, hey, why put your, you know, our hard-earned money that we contribute to the people who are against us. But, you know, these people are basically saying the same thing, aren't they, Sam?
Yes. But we've been saying it for a lot longer than they have, buddy.
Yep, yep. Good point.
And I'm not here to down anybody, and I've even been critical of Ron Paul and others for some of this, right?
Right.
Not that I want to be critical of Ron Paul. I think Ron Paul is one of the best modern-day statesmen we've ever had.
Yeah, but we always said, man, imagine if all those millions had gone into buying the media instead of just supporting the unfriendly media. Man, where would we be today?
Huh? Yeah. So anyway, I find that interesting. And I'm not really sure what that means, Kurt.
Well, it just means they understand how important it is to support their buddies, right? I wish we could all understand it, you know?
Well, what do you think?
Seems like, well,
what can we do about it?
Somebody agreeing the same old stuff like we've been saying is pretty important, right, Sam?
Yeah.
They call it NewsGuard, so in other words, they're going to filter out, things like Breitbart and Drudge Report and Daily Mail.
Of course they are.
If you're using Microsoft's NewsGuard, you know.
Yeah.
So that would be called censorship. You know, right?
They say most debunks hoaxes as credible. Kurt, it's all in the eyes of the beholder on what you think is credible, right?
Well, it's, yeah.
And they're the ones
like
still
that
telling you
where
that, remember the fake news thing I just brought up about Hillary, right? They're still telling you that they, you know, don't really know where the emails are.
Yeah, good point. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, these are the same guys that will tell you over and over that there's a separation of church and state in the Constitution, but you'll have a real hard time finding it because it ain't in there, Sam.
Well, and Kurt wants you to know, too, that we're going to be talking tomorrow about the, the citizenship question on the census. Kurt wants to talk about that tomorrow, so we'll do that just as a teaser. Tomorrow we got a couple of great guests, too. Brian Rust will be up with us with the Honest Money Report. Tomorrow we got a great guest also, second hour, Pete Sepp, National Taxpayers Union. On Friday, a two-hour barn burner broadcast talking about education. Sam Curtin, our surprise guest, will be in the house. Thanks for being alongside for the ride. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America. Donate today, LibertyRoundtable.com. Hey, thanks.